sometimes when I wipe, I'll wipe and I'll wipe and I'll wipe and I'll wipe 100 times, still poop, still poop.
Let me check that.
It's like I'm wiping a marker or something.
Hey, Bert. Great meeting you, man. Great show.
Thank you so much.
Will you do me a solid and just say, I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast?
Sure. You ready?
I'm ready right
ready
now.
Ready right now? I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Thank you, man.
Wait, one more. We'll get
all right, yeah, take two.
Where's the iCamera thing? Right here?
I just got this.
I'm Bert Kreischer. I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
I bought a book, too, so
hey, thanks a lot, man.
That was great.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you, man.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, episode 96. Good day. How are you? I hope you're well. Good. I'm glad to hear it. The voices in my head are telling me that you're well, so thank you very much. My name is Will Koontz. I'm the host of this program, as always will be and always was. So I made a mistake on the last podcast. I told you that the open mic was the 7th. If you showed up to Sly Bar on the 7th, I do apologize because I was completely wrong. The open mic is actually the 14th. It's the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. June had 5 weeks in it or something like that. The calendar got goofy. So if you showed up on the 7th, the Sly Bar, and wanted to do some jokes or watch some jokes, you were not able to do that. Apologies, my fault. I'm an idiot. I don't know what to tell you. But the next one is July 14th at Sly Bar. We'll have the $50 cash prize, of course. We'll have pizza from Angelo's Bar and Grill. Those are our two sponsors of this podcast. Sly Bar is located at 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Angelo's is located at 536 First Avenue North. Delicious pizza, the best URL on the planet, stpizza.com. STPETEZA. How did anyone not get that URL? I don't know. Angelo's managed to pull it off. So really good stuff. Go in, grab a slice of pizza, say hello, say, hey, Will sent me here. And they'll be like, who's Will? And then you just walk away. Don't engage. Just walk away. They're not going to know, no matter how much you explain it to them. What else? We got the showcase on July 17th, just a few days after the open mic. Matt Fernandez, Kyle Roos, if you missed the Creative Loafing, We're Still Here show. Those guys will be performing. We got Rajel, and we got Nora Nagatani, and we got Justin Kupo. So I guess Nora and Justin have been the Sly Bar, but Matt and Kyle have not yet. And I think Raj went once, but really great group of comics to come see. And it's free, of course, as always. I try to keep it free. 2061 Central Avenue, Friday, July 17th, 9 p.m. We hope to see you there. Just been accepted to Stitcher. So Android people, subscribe to the Homemade Broadcast on Stitcher. Just search for the Homemade Broadcast. iTunes, same thing. Or the Radio St. Pete Archive. Just go to RadioSt.Pete.com. Click the archive section. Catch mine and many other great original programming from us here at Radio St. Pete. You got Job Talk with Dean Logan. You got the Indie Circuit with Mao or Mo. I don't know what he likes to be called. I call them both. And Charlie Jules' film reviews. So you can go check all that out. What else? You can call me on the Homemade Broadcast line, 813-693-2124. Leave a voicemail message. You can say whatever you want. Call me names, comments, suggestions. And if they're funny, I'll play them. So if you make me cry, I'll play them too. And it might be easy these days. I'm very fragile. Or you can email me, thehomemadebroadcast at radiosaintpete.com. Okay, we good? All right. So, It is episode 96 of the Homemade Broadcast. This is the second time I've recorded an intro for the day. We have a Tampa Bay comedy veteran, Danny Bevins, is sitting here. I'm sorry you had to hear that, man.
That's all right.
He's very calm and collected. He doesn't mind.
Well, I've done it before. It's okay.
Yeah, I just try. I feel bad because it's just boring, you know. And then I don't like to look at anybody if I'm trying to read stuff.
Yeah, I think that's the part that I felt for you because it's got to be. You've got to get this much information out.
And look, yeah,
I don't need you staring at me. Yes. And I almost wanted to do it, just stare at you the entire time.
I could just feel kind your of eyes make on it, me.
But I decided to go with the phone. That way, you know, it seems like I'm doing something else, but really I'm listening to every word you said.
Yeah, I know. I could feel it. Your eyes weren't burning through me, but your ears definitely were. So I tried to rush through it. I hope I got all the information out.
I think you did. It was a lot, but that was good.
Yeah.
It was absolutely good.
Well, I did. And actually, I'm kind of glad that the intro didn't go through because I made the mistake of eating noodles for lunch. I had pad thai.
Right.
And I can't do that. I'll just get tired at 3 o'clock. So I literally laid down on the couch at work and took a nap and luckily didn't get caught today. And then I came home and ate biscuits because I was like, oh, I'm starving now too because you got those simple carbohydrates.
Right.
They don't do anything for you.
Right.
So I was
right.
starving. And then the only thing I had was really like cookies or, you know, I could have had an apple. I guess I had an apple sitting right there,
right.
But I just went for the biscuits. And that didn't help, so I went and got an energy drink, and the intro was a mess. So I feel like the pressure might have helped me to overcome and get all the stuff
biscuits
I needed.
Biscuits are more
out.
Important than apples. I like that.
Yeah, well, that's not that they're more important. They're just tastier.
Yeah. It's like a good-looking girl versus one that's good for you.
Yeah, it's hard at this age.
It's unfortunate, but it is going to be that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it hard? Is it? You can't tell which one's good for you and which one's just...
Dude, none of them are good for you. I'm old enough to know that.
Some of them are. Some of them will keep you on that line. And
yeah.
And the rest of them are, you know.
They're all messes. I haven't found any.
Everybody's a mess, real though. Good. I mean, you just got to find the mess that helps you stay.
You got to find
messy.
A mess that on that scale.
Or one that you can help clean up.
Yeah, or that will say will balance out your mess so they're separate but equal and, you know, that whole thing.
Right.
Danny Bevins is a comedian. You were, are you in Tampa now for good?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a house in St. Pete on the beach. And I got a little boy, so I got a wife and a little boy. And
mm-hmm. You were out and you were living in L.A., though, for like a
LA
long time, right?
New York for 15 years, 14 years.
Yeah.
And now, but I, you know, I go back out there. I don't know that you need to anymore. I mean, look what you got right here.
What do we got?
You got a radio station. You know?
That's true. We do have an online radio station.
In
my apartment.
Exactly. And that's not, you know, that didn't exist, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever. It didn't exist.
That's true.
And the idea that, you know, that you can't, you know, put stuff together and do it yourself now is just, you know, it's crazy. I mean,
it has its benefits, such as somebody like me or anybody else can do this. But then also the bad side of that is anyone can do this. So you run that flood of just information that's hard to get noticed.
That's true. But again, the cream rises to the top, right? I mean, I listen to Marin and, you know what I mean? Not every one of them, but I listened to him. And
Marin got a big jump, though, because he did the Air America thing. So he had...
Yeah, he had it. He had an audience. There's no doubt about it.
I
don't think he felt that he had an audience, but he had an audience.
And he also had the equipment, too, because I think the first one he recorded was with David Cross, and they did it at the studios.
Jeff Ross. Yeah.
Oh, was it Jeff Ross?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he just brought him up the elevator after his show was done, and then...
Yeah, I know that's not fair to bring him up, but what I'm saying is I think in any situation he would have gotten... up there somewhere, you know what I mean?
I'd like to think so, but yeah. I think too that only talent gets you so far. I think talent is pretty insignificant in the long run because you have
really?
To work hard. Yeah, I don't think talent is all that important because I know a lot of talented people, whether they're painters or, I mean, everybody that comes through here, A lot of them are lazy, though, and don't promote. You got to self-promote like crazy. And a lot of these people don't understand that because they just think, well, I'm good. I'm gonna make it. I'm good.
Right.
And who you know, too, I think is really important. What connections you make. It's important. Don't get me wrong. You have to be talented in order. That's the first step. But you have to do these other steps after that.
Oh, I agree. I mean, look, it's a job. It's going to be a job. You know, and I think that's the thing that most people don't understand. It's a job. But, you know, do you have to be lucky? Absolutely. Everybody, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. If you're going for something that is about you and something that is artistic in some way or, you know, pitch you up against other people who are going for it, there's going to have to be some luck involved. I mean, that the luck is that you meet the people that you have to know and you definitely got to promote. And I think that's the, I'd love to go back and find those, like the Beatles and the Stones. And I don't know if I put them in that category, but the ones that used to say, I'm not doing a commercial.
Who's the big band in the Who or something do a commercial recently and upset? Everybody does.
Everybody. I mean, when I heard a Dylan song on a commercial, I was like, you got to be kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Dylan. But, you know, that's probably something for his family.
But also, you know, like how much money does that guy need? It can't be all money in the end because Bob Dylan's got, I mean, he must have a huge fortune built up. I don't know.
But again,
I guess you can never have enough, right? There's no such thing.
And there's somebody in your life. Imagine that. There's somebody in your life. They've got. They can make some if you make this deal happen. Blah blah blah. Who
knows? Right. He's got to take care of Jacob. I don't think the wall.
But I'd like to know what it would. What they would be like in this kind of environment where.
Right. I got you.
Know, people. Nobody's gonna. Oh, let's record the Beatles. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you want to pay me to use the recording thing, and then.
Yeah.
Go out and sell them yourself. You know what I mean? It's not. It'd be a different. It's a different story. It is harder.
There's definitely. I mean, that's how like Justin Bieber came up was the internet and YouTube. Usher found him on.
And
YouTube.
Again, now that would be a lot of people. I guess would say that's a bad example. That's an example of this is now it's bad because he could be there.
Right.
I don't know. I don't.
He's a talented kid. I mean, what? I don't either. But yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's a talented young man.
Well, he got there. You know what I mean? He definitely got there. The one thing that I love about Bieber is that people give him grief, and you go, yeah, okay. He's a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you had that much money at that age and pure freedom, I mean, come on.
Like,
you wouldn't wreck a car. I'd wreck a few cars.
He doesn't have any idea what it is to be a human being, really, because since he was a little kid, I mean, he must have been 8 or 9 when he came up. So he had that brief period of childhood, and then he's just this major celebrity all of a sudden. And I feel bad for him, frankly, because he hasn't gotten that knowledge of what it is to be human. He's totally separate from the rest of us. And he will be until he eventually, I don't think he's going to be around forever.
It's hard to feel sorry for somebody who can afford a Lamborghini.
Many of them. He can build an island of Lamborghinis and live on it if he wants to. I think he's a $100 million kid already. Very short in his career.
That's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a talented kid. He can sing, he can dance, he can do it all. But
was his mentor? Who was the
Usher?
Usher.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And I don't think Usher does anything anymore. I think Usher just made a bunch of money off Justin Bieber and just retired pretty much. He was probably doing something, but.
Oh, you don't think he's not releasing any albums? I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't, you know, pay attention to Usher.
Let's forget that. What podcast do you listen to other than editing your own?
I listen to a lot of O&A clips, honestly. Old ones, like when Patrice O'Neill was on there.
Right,
I listen to those a lot. Like This American Life. I like Radio Lab. I started listening to this one, The Heart, actually, this week, which was called Radio Smut for a little while.
Right.
And it's definitely more... I think it's just by a bunch of lesbians.
Right.
But it's kind of weird as me as a straight white guy listening to it, but it's fascinating.
Every straight white guy is a lesbian.
That's true. Right. I didn't think of it that way.
You have that much in common with them.
Yeah.
There's nothing they're going to talk about that you're not going to be like, absolutely, let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's really good. I've been enjoying that. I almost went through 3 seasons of it this week.
It's called Radio Smut?
It's now called The Heart, was called Radio Smut. I listen to Marin every now and then. Bill Burr. I love Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast. Yeah. And the Just Checking In On You Thursday Afternoon podcast is great, too. That guy, man, he's a special individual. I can't imagine, like, my life is so boring that I can't imagine having to talk for an hour and a half just by myself. It would just be awful. But he's just got such interesting stories and such a dynamic personality that he pulled off.
Yeah, and he's figured out how to take what he does every day and turn it into the story. You know what I mean? I mean, he's thinking about it all the time. And
I mean, I guess, too, he's doing shows every night, and, like, he's always got different stories and stuff like that.
Right.
And I think he thinks about his opinions, too. He doesn't just spout them out. He kind of thinks about what he's going to say first, which I have a problem with. I just spout it out.
Wouldn't you love to see his notebook? Like the shit that he wrote down that he didn't, that he didn't put in there, and that he,
I would,
and I don't even know if he has one. I don't know if he's, I don't know if Bill writes like that. I have no idea, but
I wonder too. Like he seems like he might be one of those guys that's just all in his head. I mean, who knows though?
If that's true, then that's a fucking that'd be an interesting place to. I don't want to live there, but I'd like to.
Just to,
but I guess that's what the podcast is for. You get to go visit it,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a fact. Danny, how long have you been doing comedy? A long time?
Yeah, 94. I started in 94, across the bay over there at Side Splitters as the house MC. Bobby Jewell tried to talk me out of it. Bobby Jewell's the owner of Side Splitters Comedy Club, and he spent a day trying to talk me out of wanting to do comedy. And
why?
At the end of it, I think he felt. Like, I didn't just do open mic. I went and waited for him to open the door in the morning, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that I could tell him that, look, I knew that the only way I was going to be able to do this is if I could get more time on stage, and I knew that there was a spot, the MC spot, and that's what I wanted. I wanted to be the MC, and I thought that I could do it. And so I went in.
But you had no previous experience before that? You were just like, oh, I can do this.
Open mics, you know, just doing open mics. And, what other experience is there? You know what I mean? I mean, it's.
Eventually you got to do it, right?
Right, And he spent the day trying to talk me out of it. And I think we kind of got to know each other during that day. And then he said, okay, you can be the house MC. And, you know, it was a very difficult.
What was the scene?
Relationship, but it was...
what was the scene like in 94? Because I think the 80s were like a golden era for comedy, right, everywhere?
Yeah, I think the 80s, that would definitely be the golden era. If you consider the golden era the idea that anybody could make money at it, you didn't have to be any good at all, and you could make a lot of money. You could go on the road. The 90s became the time where you could survive. You could be out there and survive. Like, you could be a feature. I was a feature on the road for maybe 2 years, almost 2 years. And I made it. Now, I didn't have a place to live. And, you know, there's occasional times that I slept in, you know, truck stops and, you know, things like that. But it wasn't that often. And it wasn't that difficult. And I knew a lot of people. And, you know, and I didn't have to stay in one place. You know, there was a lot of time in the car. You know, listen to music and books on cassette. That's back when we had cassette.
I remember cassette.
So, I mean, you could do it, and it was starting to kind of climb back, I guess, a little bit. I mean, there was enough. There was work. You could work.
This was like pre-internet too, so you couldn't find clips or something. You have to go to a place in order to see comedy. You couldn't just go on the internet and pull it up.
Right.
And I think that's my theory, is that that's what's kind of pushing people out of why clubs aren't as successful maybe today as opposed to even back then, because people can watch whatever they want now. It's all on demand. It's all on YouTube. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It is harder. I think there are a lot of good clubs in this country that do it. They, you know, they survive. And they survive without the A talent. I'm not talking about the improvs that are, you know, more of a Olive Garden, Macaroni Grill kind of version of comedy.
Right.
I mean, it's, you're going to get this and, you know, I don't know if that's fair, because sometimes you can get some really good stuff there, and a lot of times you can get, you know, it sounds like it's going to be something, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other rooms that, you know, would be considered B rooms. I don't think you'd say that to the owner's face, but that's because the talent wouldn't be a talent. But it's a great show, and everybody on that show is working, and they're putting butts in seats, and people are getting the job done. So, you know, it can be done. Again, just, you know, there's a lot going up against you. There's a lot to compete with in comedy right now, and it's very hard to compete with. Why do I want to leave my house?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. Why do I want to leave my house? I mean, I had a kid, and I can't even tell you what the last movie we went and saw. I mean, I could if you gave me a few minutes, mm-hmm. but it's that long ago. Chef with John Favreau, his independent movie.
Oh, okay.
That's when I went and saw the last time with her.
Uh-huh.
The only movie I've seen. Now, when I'm on the road, I can go to movies, but I don't want to because I've got work to do that I don't get done when I'm home with the kid.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, same here. I don't go to movies. I just wait for – I use my mom's Netflix password,
right.
And I can watch. Eventually, I know it will be there. So I think I went and saw Interstellar was the last movie I saw, and that was because only I heard that it was, like, breaking ground with all this, like, visualizing black holes and stuff. It was a big deal. So I was like, oh, cool. You know, that sounds
good. But see, then you are the problem, right? Because there's movie makers out there, and
yeah,
we're waiting to see it. Now I pay for Netflix and
yeah.
I pay for Amazon and you know that, but so they get some cut of that, but they don't get the same cut. I mean, we're all doing it, we're all doing it. You know what I mean? We're all kind of cheating the system, and so it's harder now. I mean, I think it's harder to get to a living level. You know what I mean? But I think a lot of people. If you're listening to this, he told me not to swear. So that's. I'm doing a lot of self.
You already did a little bit. So
did I really?
Yeah.
See,
we got an S bomb and an F bomb already.
Oh,
that I caught.
Okay. Well,
that's okay. Hey, don't worry about it.
And that's with me trying.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, it's hard.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, I had Fisher, who's a radio guy here. He's been on the air for many years. He came and did it. Now he's doing podcasting with Jesse Cage. Met him in, I don't know, September of last year, and he's, oh, sure, I'll come on, and I figured I wouldn't have to tell him, like, he's done radio for 20 years, that guy dropped so many F-bombs, I could not believe it, so, and it always happens a couple times.
Do you have to go back in and...
I don't know how to do that. The station manager, Joe Bordeaux or whatever, if he has that option, if he wants to do that, but I think he'll even be like, eh, it's fine. I'll let him know about it and then,
you know,
see what, because it is just internet right now.
Right.
So I think when our studio gets up, we'll have one of those dump button things that we can hit. Then you don't have to worry about it.
But that's, that's what I'm trying to say that. So I think a lot of people, and I don't mean this in a bad way, I just mean that, myself included, whine about the nature or the state of what it is, and but you see a lot of people getting things done.
Yeah,
I mean, I came back to try to set up a. I want to produce comedy out of here. You know what I mean? I want to produce. You know, a web series and then try to take it to the next level. Because I've seen that stuff happen and I've watched it and I've been on the other end and I got taught all of that stuff and now I want to put it to use.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of talent here. I mean, just running my open mic down at Sly Bar and then doing, you know, the shows and stuff like that. I've gotten to meet a lot of the comics around here. It's a lot of really good ones, man. I mean, I don't know how it compares to anywhere else across the country, but
right.
Tampa Bay is a big area, metro area. I think probably Orlando is probably the mecca of Florida comedy, would you say?
I have no idea. Okay. I mean, I don't, you know, I don't get, I go to a couple of the ones around here and then, you know, I do my road work and I'm good. I know there's the guys that I see are doing well. Mm-hmm. Any community is going to be as good as the amount of stage time that there is.
Right.
So the more stage time that they can get, the better they're going to be. That's just a fact. So when you have, like, Minneapolis is probably one of the better comedy communities in the country. Yeah.
Okay.
And but Minneapolis, St. Paul, not to mention the surrounding area, there's so much work, you know, and you can jump over to Canada. There's a lot of work. There's enough stage time that the kids get good. And then also the main club there, it's everybody wants to play it. And in order to play it, you got to be really good, and you have to be unique, and you have to be, and those are the rules. So people going for that, they're going, you know, they're being, without knowing it, they're being kind of forced into a work mode of you know, of you got to work, you got to get it done, you got to be good, you got to be unique, you got to be different, and that's why they spit out a lot of great comics, you know.
That's and what is it? Comedian Danny Bevins is joining me today on the Homemade Broadcast. What do you think it is about Indianapolis, for instance? Like, I wouldn't even think about Indianapolis. What is it about them that's just...
Just look at it on a map and look at all the places you can go. I mean, there's just so much work.
You got Chicago, I guess you got
all
some
of Ohio, all of Indiana, all of, you know, all of that area, anything you can drive to. And you see how much you can drive to, you know what I mean? And how many cities you can drive to.
Right.
So if you think about the big city plus the two little cities in the States, all right, and each one of them has a comedy club, each one of them probably has an open mic, you know, if you're getting on stage 7 days a week, you're going to be better than somebody who's getting on stage 3 days a week.
You know what I notice around here is that some of the guys don't even do open mics. I tell them about it, and I give $50 out to the best comic of the night. It's kind of chosen by audience participation. I got, like, people turned up their nose to me about that. You know, I figured, I feel like people should get paid if they're, you know, doing their craft or whatever.
Right.
But I don't know. It's like, I don't know if it's an ego thing with some of these people or what it is.
I'm sure it is. Or they don't like to be, they don't want to be judged. That puts them in the position of being judged, which, you know, that's,
I mean, that's what it's about, though.
Yeah, you're going to be in this business. If you're worried about being judged, you have bigger issues going on. But yeah, I've put on a workshop, which I think people take as they think it's a class, and I would never teach a class, not class.
Can you teach it? I mean, can you even teach a class in comedy? I think it's one of those things you either have it or you don't.
You can write. You can give them some basic things that'll help them, shortcuts. You know what I mean? A few shortcuts. You can give them some advice, business wise. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, don't sleep with the waitstaff. You know, don't. You know, when it comes to the owner, always do what you're going to say you're going to do. Make sure you know, that kind of stuff. And then you can explain joke writing. But what I did was I just set up a workshop and said, come in with your jokes. You get up there, tell us the joke you're working on, and then we'll help you with tags and punches and stuff like that.
Are you still doing that?
Yeah, Tuesday night is open to everybody, and then from the Tuesday night, you can get invited to the Wednesday night. Both Tuesday and Wednesday are 6:30 to 8:30.
Okay.
And then...
Where's this at?
It's Coconuts on the beach.
Yeah. Do you know the address of that?
It's 5501 Gulf Boulevard.
Okay.
And...
So next to the Serrata, right? Like right around there?
Yeah, across the street from the Serrata, right next to Silas Dent's and MJ's, the little bar there. But, and it's in the comedy club. And so we have the comedy club. There's nobody there. It's just us from 6:30 to 8:30. And then, like tonight, that's why I got to run after this. We've got the open mic. And if you come to the class, you're on the show for the open mic no matter what. Mm-hmm. So you can do that. And when you make it to Wednesday, it's the same thing. If you come, not the class. As you can see, even now I'm saying, you come to the workshop. Then if you've been invited to Wednesday's workshop, if you come, you can do time on the show Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. You know, there's no bringer situation. It's nothing like that. It's just I like being around people who are funny, and I like spitballing funny stuff.
Yeah, me too, man. I hear you. Yeah. So you started in 94.
Right.
And you started here in Tampa. You mentioned Indianapolis. So do you, because that's what I always kind of thought. If you want to do comedy, you either got to go to Los Angeles or you have to go to New York. Is that true anymore? Or?
Well, I mean, it's if you want to be a stand-up comedian, you would go to New York. You would go to New York when you are capable of dealing with being
judged.
Yeah, and at that level of I mean, when I lived in Manhattan, I was passed almost everywhere, and Ted Alexandro, Jim Gaffigan, Burr sometimes. A lot of these guys that are bigger now, that was the guy that, you know, Alexandro brought me up, and then I brought up Gaffigan. Gaffigan brought me up. Me and Gaffigan would go back and forth all the time. It just happened to be I don't know what it was, but I mean, I was almost always, either he was introducing me or I was introducing him. And that's, you know, and then you bounce to the next club and you do that. But you got to be ready to get on stage in New York. And I think what happens to a lot of people is a lot of people go to L.A. and New York way too early. Mm-hmm. You're not ready. You're not ready. First of all, you shouldn't go to either one of them until you have somebody there representing you that can represent you. If you don't have anybody that's representing you, you're not going to get any work.
You just have to, like, hit up open mics and hope that that somebody sees you.
And try to make it going up that road, which is a very, very difficult road to go up. Mm-hmm. And
but how do you do that? How do you get somebody to represent you without being there?
Well, that's what all these, I think. Now, when I started, it was, like, when I got to L.A., I went without any help, but I had a booking agent and an agency within, you know, 2 weeks of being in LA. Mm-hmm. So now that was through other comedians. They did that. They greased the wheels and set it up, and it's not as easy to do that anymore, but there are 100 festivals and there's always somebody at those festivals. Now it may not be the big person, it may not be the agent itself, may not be the manager. It's their assistants and stuff, you know. But if you can get somebody that's turned on by what you do that can help sell you, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Then you got a better chance of doing something, you know what I mean? You have a chance. Let's put it that way. If you have nobody, you have no chance.
Right.
And you show me the person that's gone to either L.A. or New York and started by doing open mics and has made it anywhere other than coming back home with their hat in their hand and talking about, you know, New York's a bunch of politics.
It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, exactly. It's always that. That's the problem. I mean, I have kids here that are, I call them kids because
they're kids.
Everybody's a kid.
They are.
But they'll say to me, yeah, I'm thinking about going to L.A. And I'm like, no one knows you in Tampa.
You got to become that big fish in a small pond first.
You need to be huge in Tampa before. I don't know why you would think of going to a place like Los Angeles when no one in your hometown knows who you are.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or where you live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard. I think with comedy here, I don't think the media gives comedy a fair shake here.
Anywhere.
But I know, like, for instance, I know this isn't Chicago, obviously, but the Chicago Tribune has a comedy section that they have, you know, that they report on stuff. But here, there's, like, nothing. And I've fought with every outlet here. I've sent emails, tweets. I've done the whole thing. I did the show in Creative Loathing's loft, you know, to kind of throw it in their faces a little bit. And I had one of the online editors came in here. He was a really nice guy, and I kind of felt bad for trashing the paper. When I was done, he kind of explained it to me a little bit, how it's, you know, there's things that they have to do, and they're trying to figure things out. And basically just said, we're working on it. We'll get there. But, you know, that was months ago and still. still nothing. I think that would be a major benefit to this thing, because there's shows happening all the time. I mean, St. Pete has been blowing up as far as shows go. There's something, seems like a comedy event a couple times a week now, at least. Right. And there was really nothing. There was a couple people doing, I think Bula Cafe was doing theirs.
Right, I heard about that.
But really, that was it. And then I came and started doing Sly Bar and doing, you know, the showcases. And now there's Moscato's, there's Amsterdam. There's a bunch of venues down here doing comedy now.
Right.
So it's here, and people are obviously going to it. If there's, you know, a couple shows a week, media, nothing from any of the local papers, which is really frustrating.
Well, it's no, you know, you say Chicago, but Chicago's got the history of Second City and,
yeah,
you know, and everybody that came out of Chicago. And although always seemed to me like more of them came out of Toronto, but whatever. That they have a history to it. It's connected to Chicago. And, you know, you have some areas where they kind of have to talk about it. New York, they have to, you know. They've got the Cellar. They've got, you know, there's shows being run about comedy in their city. They've got to say something about it.
Yeah.
You know? But I think that there's always been a problem with respect for stand-up because it looks like anybody can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the creative loafing, they got bands. They tell you who every band is.
Dude.
They talk about every band that there is. But that's somebody with an instrument in their hand, and it looks like they're doing something.
Yeah.
And a stand-up is just a person with a microphone telling jokes. And everybody in their head thinks they're funny. Hey, that's number one. They really do think they're funny. Or they think they understand comedy. And B, that it doesn't look like it's that difficult to them. And you know, I don't think it's... I mean, I think you're fighting a good fight, but I don't know that, you know.
Yeah, I've been not promised anything, but yeah, okay. I hear you, and we'll get to work on it. You know, eventually something will happen. I've kind of just not given up. I'm still going to do my thing, but...
Right, and what's the... Because to me, that seems like the wrong way to go, is to the medium that is in its death throes. You know what I mean? Like, it seems to me, you know, what the places that have done it well, guys like you, and you know what I mean, people who love comedy, did it themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You should put reviews of comedy shows up on the thing. Probably do, I don't know. But you should do that, because then somebody's doing it at least who has some passion for it, some love for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that means more than, you know.
Well, I think that's the thing,
too. I don't
think
anybody's going to listen to this and think I'm funny. Talking about
well, good. I don't want to run bits. This is not what this podcast is about. This is not for that. This is to an honest discussion about whoever's in here. So you know, good. And I want to learn, because I know you're a guy that's been in the. I'm talking to, you know, kids, the kids that come in here, and I like to talk to them too. But you're actually a guy who's had success, and you know, it's good to actually get some knowledge. You know.
That's good.
All right, so Danny Bevins is here. He's shy, I guess, timid. What do you got?
Can I have some?
Yeah. Do you want? I can pause and get you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right.
That'd be great.
All right, we got Danny some water. He's feeling better. Right. It's the damn candle, I think, man.
Is that what it is? It might be.
Yeah, it gets me sometimes. I meant to blow it out. You can only light it for a little while. Right. It's one of my friends, Shannon's Web up on Central. She has a shop.
Oh, yes. I know that.
Delicious shop. Candles, but they are potent. So
yeah,
that's what it is.
It's a little. Well, you've got a nice little space here, too, that's cool and I'm sure locked down. You know, you got to have everything airtight in Florida so you can keep the AC in.
Yes, definitely. I don't open the windows at all if I don't have to. Maybe you get it in, like, December for a couple weeks, and then that's all you get, basically. Before it's way too hot.
It used to be that you go in somebody's apartment and I mean, open the door and it was like the Cheech and Chong fans, you know what I mean? Because people were smoking dope or smoking cigarettes, whatever it was, with that opening, because people would hermetically seal themselves into these places because, you know, during the summer it's just so
hot. Yeah, I think I'm about done with Florida.
So you do the you do it once in a while. You do stand up once in a while.
Yeah, if I have a bug up my butt, something that's bugging me or something like that, I write. I carry a joke book around. I write down ideas. I don't think I'm particularly good at it. I think there my talent lies maybe other. I want to do this, so
right.
I think maybe. Not that I'm resented, but I think some of the other comedians are like, all right, either do it or don't type of thing.
Right.
But and I understand that point of view.
But why would they care? And that's
yeah,
thing,
and they you don't. Know, you know, yeah. I don't think they do. No one's ever like said that to me or anything.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. I don't see the point. But I wish I was like that too. I wish I but I do love the fact that I have. You know, when I do have something that I'm pissed off about, I have that club right down the street, and I can go down and get up at any time and just start, you know, saying what I want to say. I think that's I think that's important.
Most definitely.
I think for a lot of people, they probably have a better life if they had that opportunity. Now, they probably wouldn't be able to do it because they're afraid of getting up in front of people. But if you get over that, then...
I get a lot of people that come in the Sly Bar that it's their first time ever doing it, and I see, like, on the event page or something, they'll say, hey, you know, come out, and they bring some friends and stuff like that, and they end up getting really drunk, and it's not – they're just talking about, like, traumas that they had in their life. Like, you have to make these traumas
funny.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're literally just speaking about these horrible things, and I was just like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, There's fodder there for a good sketch on just the horribleness of what an open mic can be.
And, oh yeah, but I love like the worst they are. Like I love watching that. Like I love that.
You like
silence.
The train wreck.
Do I enjoy that? Because I have to sit. Sly Bar has a high stage. They have a 6-foot stage, so I can't really get off stage. What I do is I just go in the back, sit down, hunch down. And then, so I have this interesting perspective of, I don't hear the sound coming out of the PA. I hear it coming out of their mouths.
Oh, wow.
And then I can hear what the audience does, and man, I get a lot of joy out of those failures. But I like it when those people come back and, you know, try it again, too.
Right.
I mean, it's building. One guy just went up and made noises last week and thought he was terrific. And so he's going to be back, you know, and I hope he does come back. You know, it's fun.
Noises like Winslow?
I don't know. It's just characters. He's doing characters.
I got to come out. So it's the second.
It's a second and fourth. That's the only thing. It's on the Coconuts nights. But it's a second and fourth Tuesday. We start about 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I'll come out.
Yeah, man.
I don't mind. You know, I'm not at that one every Tuesday. That's the thing. And
when
if
do you
we
do
can
the...
get people going back and forth to them, that's what we should be doing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I'm all for that. And I think some of them do. I think there's some guys that come to mind and then head down to Coconuts right afterwards. I think we need that. There's nothing wrong with having two open mics in the same city at one night. That's only going to benefit people, not, you know, hurt anything.
It would be nice if they all had... if the clubs really did run them... right, so that you get at all four, what are there, four or five actual stand-up places going on?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, comedy clubs, not, I mean, there's a lot of independent places, but those, if they, you know, at consistent, because I don't know that they do, you know what I mean?
Well, hey, man, I hate to do it, but we're out of time already.
Good!
You survived.
No, I want to, but I do want to go to Sly Bar. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool, man. Danny, thank you very much for coming in. Where can people find you, Facebook or Twitter or anything?
I listen to this. I got a new URL. So the website is dannybevins.rocks.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put that up on the Facebook page.
I'm not kidding, man.
Facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast. You can follow me on Twitter, home_made_man. Have a very good week. Go sign up on iTunes and Stitcher and all that. And I'll talk to you all soon. Goodbye.